Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, breaking down Chris Finch's season, John Krasinski of The Athletic had a fantastic piece, and I want to key in a little bit on, well, really primarily on the offensive discussion. Chris Finch's season overseeing the Wolves offense that never really found its footing at any point. I want to dig into why that is, the biggest issues as we go into year number three of Chris Finch as head coach. It's all coming to the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to us by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. And a big thank you, first of all, for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find this show. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. This show, along with all the other Minnesota Locked On podcasts, can be found there. More great local sports coverage 24/7, and it's free. Download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app today. Again, Roku and Amazon Fire TV. And also, you can follow the show on Twitter. The show account is at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And also my account, which is at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. Talked a little bit of trade on Tuesday. Going to swing back to the actual Timberwolves roster in the season that just finished. Well, I don't know. Finished a little over a month ago now. John Krasinski, of course, does a fantastic job covering the Timberwolves over at The Athletic, and has had kind of this offseason series ongoing where he evaluates. I think he did an Anthony Edwards piece and a Rudy Gobert piece, which is effectively the written form of what I've done with some of these different reviews. And obviously, we have different perspectives and you know, I haven't really referenced those articles at all on the show, but John does a great job, and I'm sure everyone listening to the show reads all of his stuff. And if you don't, you should. If you subscribe to The Athletic, they do a really good job. This piece was really good. It was entitled Chris Finch's Second Full Season for the Wolves, What Went Right and What Went Wrong. And it's obviously very in-depth and very well thought out, breaks down the Wolves' offense, breaks down their defense, breaks down player development, kind of the big picture of the organization, where they sit now. And, I didn't do a show reviewing Chris Finch. I think it's really hard to parse that from and to be clear, that's what John's article is, and I think he did a really good job. I would struggle to, like, really come down and say, hey, here are the definitive reasons why Chris Finch was good or bad this season. I just think there's so much minutia that goes into the coaching profession that I don't know that I could do it justice in terms of, like, at least not in the same way I evaluate players. But I think John did a really good job in his piece, and I want to key in. I want to talk kind of broadly my take on his take on Chris Finch, and then I also want to dig in more specifically to the offensive end of the floor, which we've done a little on the show, but take some of the things that John talked about and expand maybe a little bit further on them. In general, I think it is fair to say, I think Chris Finch's quote that he, about his own performance in his exit interview, he called it a, quote, moderate success, which he said in the exit interview, and John quotes it in this article. He talks about how they would have liked to go further, and if they had a fully healthy roster, they thinks they would have. But then he also says, back-to-back playoff appearances for a franchise that hasn't sniffed the playoffs in 20 years, I think, is something to be proud of. Not entirely accurate, but close, right? They made the playoffs once in the previous 20 years when Chris Finch wasn't the coach, and that was with, of course, Tom Thibodeau in the Jimmy Butler season. So I think that's a fair analysis, and in the same way that I evaluated the team as a whole right after their ouster in the first round of the playoffs, I think the context can and does and should matter. Right? We have to acknowledge that Karl Anthony Towns missed 52 games. We have to acknowledge that he and Rudy Gobert played less than 500 minutes together. We have to acknowledge that, they had arguably a career worst year from Karl Anthony Towns, even when you factor, like, when he was on the floor, when he struggled. Anthony Edwards didn't quite make the third year leap that we all wanted him to. Of course, the playoffs might have even looked differently. I'm not saying the Wolves would have beaten the Denver Nuggets with Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels, but perhaps they pushed them to six games, and that, you know, if they win one more game in that series, maybe it feels different. If they beat the Lakers in the play-in and they're the seven seed, perhaps it feels different. There's a number of factors along the way that we have to consider. They aren't excuses. It's reality. At the same time, the Timberwolves mortgaged, an infinite number of assets, it felt like, to get Rudy Gobert. And then they were five games worse in the regular season. They were the eighth seed. That matters too. Like we can't ignore the reality there. And of course, all the factors already listed play into that. But that's why I think it's okay to say that this was, you know, a moderate success. I think that's a fair evaluation. I think it's fair to say the year should have been better, given all the factors. It certainly could have been worse. And that's fine. Now, we're sitting here in 12 months and the Timberwolves win 43 games next year and everybody was healthy, this is a different conversation. Because if you have a roster with two All-NBA bigs and a budding star, an all-star in Anthony Edwards, so you have three guys in your starting lineup who have been all-stars. Jaden McDaniels is about to get a big extension and is widely seen as one of the top overall defenders in the entire league. There's no excuse for this team to not improve next season. But sitting here right now, I would say a moderate success is a decent way, a fair way to describe the performance of the team this season and by extension then Chris Finch's performance. Because he does talk a little bit about how the guys could have let go of the rope, they could have given in at some point in time, at various points in time during the season with the amount of illness this team had, the D'Lo stuff, the trade midseason, the late season injuries with Naz and Jaden McDaniels. All of those things would have been, you know, were moments where it felt like this team was going to kind of pack it in. But this was a team that never, like for better or for worse, could really get out of this like roller coaster within a few games of 500 almost all season. It wasn't exactly like the Atlanta Hawks who played like, what, 40-some games in a row where they were within a game of 500, which is nuts. But the Wolves, it felt like, were more win three, lose two, win two, lose three, like that sort of a back and forth where it wasn't quite like an every other game roller coaster. It was like, and there was never like a super long or losing streak or a super long winning streak. It was more these chunks of 2 to 4 games where it's like, okay, they've won three straight and now they lose two and then they win two and then they lose three and then they win four and then they lose three. Like it was that sort of a season is what it felt like. And given all of the challenges and the trials that they underwent during the season, I think that it's fair to say 42 wins. Playing the Denver Nuggets as tough as anybody to this point. Now, I record this with Miami, you know, having just tied the series 1-1 in the finals. But still, to this point, play them as tough as anybody in the playoffs. I think it's fair. I think it's okay to call it a moderate success. I don't want to talk a whole lot about the defense. I'll briefly touch on it here in a minute. But I want to spend the majority of the time today talking about the Wolves' offense and a couple of notes from John Krasinski's article at The Athletic. Because I think the offense conversation, given what Chris Finch's credentials were coming into the job in Minnesota, is a fair and important one to have. So we're going to do that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends over at Game Time. I, for one, am not very good at planning ahead when it comes to purchasing tickets, regardless of what it's for. I go to a fair number of concerts, a fair number of sporting events, occasionally theater. And I have a bad habit of waiting till the last minute to buy tickets. But as it turns out, buying tickets to your favorite events should not be stressful, even if it is last minute. And that's where our friends at Game Time come in. Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time is deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It's the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. Get images of your seats before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps, and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never have to dig through your email. Snag your tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. A big thank you once again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, every day is we're here through the rest of the week. Two more shows this week through Friday, all next week, lots to get to in terms of the draft, offseason, et cetera. So big thank you for making us your first listen each and every day. All right. In the John Krasinski article related to the defense, just very quickly, and again, that's how he breaks the article down. He talks defense, he talks offense, he talks big picture. Defensively, we talked about this on the show. The Wolves ended up with a similar defense to what it was last year with very different personnel and a very different overall strategy, right? The Wolves were, 13th in defensive rating, depending on what site you look at, anywhere from 12th to 14th in defensive rating last year in 21-22 with Jared Vanderbilt and Patrick Beverley and some different pieces off the bench, of course, like Malik Beasley and just a bit of a different, certainly a different rotation and no Rudy Gobert. This season, the Wolves finished 10th in defensive rating, depending on where you look, but I think 10th is the number that I kept seeing. And overall, they were allowed less. The defensive rating or defensive efficiency was better by like 3-ish points or so than last year, and the ranking was better by 3 spots. But they went about it in a very different way. Without getting super in the weeds on defense, we have talked about this on the show a lot. Last year, the Wolves used a more aggressive blitzing scheme where they were trying to essentially trap pick and rolls with Patrick Beverley, Jared Vanderbilt, even Karl-Anthony Towns, because Towns struggles so much in drop coverage. And Cat, of course, primarily played the five, really exclusively played the five in the 21-22 season. So the Wolves were trying to force the ball out of primary ball handlers' hands. It was very effective early in the season against poorly coached and sloppy offensive teams. The Wolves generated a lot of turnovers and therefore a lot of transition opportunities to help their offense, which wasn't consistent. It was better in 21-22 than it was in 22-23. More on that in a minute. But the transition opportunities helped, and it also kind of artificially. The result was the defense was good, but against well-coached teams, and as the year wore on and teams kind of saw what the Wolves were doing and they put that on tape, teams that had strong passers at the point of attack and good coaching staffs were able to, you know, have skip passes, back cuts, et cetera, to kind of beat the Wolves over aggressive defense. With different personnel, the Wolves changed things up in 22-23. Rudy Gobert is, as I've said before, a walking top 10 defense. I think the Jazz were top 10 defensively in every single season of his career in Utah, except for like his rookie year when he was a very low minute bench guy. And the Wolves changed their strategy to match Gobert and to match, you know, the personnel the Wolves had defensively on the perimeter as well. And it worked really well. The result was very similar. In fact, it was better overall. They just went about it in a different way. The biggest issue was that the defensive rebounding did not improve because Rudy was basically left to himself to rebound. Karl-Anthony Towns and Jaden McDaniels were often stuck out on the perimeter guarding actions and didn't get crash the glass in time to rebound. Anthony Edwards improved as the season wore on. It was easily his best rebounding season, but defensive rebounding to go along with transition defense and those were the biggest issues for the Wolves. The actual half-court defense, in large part because of Rudy Gobert, but also Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards at times, was really good. So similar results to the previous season, similar results to what Rudy Gobert has seen throughout his career as a defensive anchor. The process was different. I'm not worried about the defense. The results will be there. The process can change. It can be a little bit flexible. By the way, you have Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards, and Rudy Gobert all on the same defense. That is a ton of length, athleticism, and top-flight defenders. I don't care who your other two guys are, honestly. Like, as long as they're solid, and Karl-Anthony Towns has developed into a decent team defender. Mike Conley is still a good team defender. You don't want him one-on-one on an island against a really athletic offensive player who can play in isolation, but he's still a strong team defender and good at the point of attack. That's going to be a good defensive unit when fully healthy and they all play together and when, you know, McDaniel's healthy, Ant playing hard. That's a good defensive unit. I'm not worried about the defense. Let's talk about offense. Chris Finch coming to Minnesota was touted as an I think the phrase offensive guru was bandied about quite a bit. He had been a lead assistant for Nick Nurse in Toronto. He had been an assistant in Jokic's first year. I think he was only with Denver. Finch was only with Denver for a season. That was after he was in Houston, led their G League team, was on the NBA coaching staff for the Rockets for a while. And then he was an associate head coach in, or I guess technically he was offensive coordinator in New Orleans when Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins were there. They had a season-ish of success with the two bigs. Finch, you could go back even further to his career coaching basketball in Europe, where he played with multiple centers, and he talked about that a little bit publicly after the Gobert trade. I believe that was a topic that came up a little bit last summer. So all that to say, Finch has this track record as an offensive quote-unquote guru, whether it was using Kat similar to how the Nuggets have used Jokic, whether it was you know having multiple centers together in Davis and Cousins. There's a lot to kind of hang our hat on, like, hey, Chris Finch knows what he's doing as an offensive coach. Obviously, the offense was not up to snuff this season. I don't think there's any other better way to put that. They finished 23rd in offensive efficiency, and they struggled with Gobert, Towns, and Edwards all on the floor together. And certainly spacing was part of that. Some of the issues that we talked about as potential issues last summer after the Gobert trade, and a lot of the same issues that were talked about nationally, why this may not work. But lack of continuity is the biggest thing. Less than 500 minutes together as a trio. We talked about that. Gobert and Towns, you know, only playing, what, 29 games or something? 28 games together in the regular season. And very limited time in preseason and, of course, a short playoff run. So not a whole lot of time to gel. There was also guard play that was a big issue with that. D'Angelo Russell never established chemistry with Rudy Gobert, and that's, I would point actually to that as the biggest thing was D'Angelo Russell could not run pick and roll with Rudy Gobert to save his life. And it wasn't entirely Gobert's fault. It was partly, but it wasn't entirely his fault. The biggest issues, though, turnover percentage kind of compounded some of those issues that the Wolves were already having and led to fast break opportunities the other way. And the Wolves, of course, have an atrocious transition defense and have for quite some time. And so the question is, where do the Wolves go from here? Now, there's a number of factors, obviously, that play into it. I think there's a couple things that make sense to highlight. One, and John Krasinski talks about this, is that the Wolves were actually pretty good in terms of clutch offense. I'll read this quick paragraph here. He says, the Wolves' clutch time struggles offensively deserve to be contextualized. For all the struggles on offense in those situations, clutch situations, the Wolves went 28-20. In games that involved clutch situations per the NBA, which is good, really good. Also factor in that the Wolves were just two games above 500 on the season. They were 42-40 and they went 28-20 in clutch situation games. And then, okay, back to John's article. He says, quote, only the Miami Heat had more clutch victories. They had 32. The Wolves had 28 in the regular season. The Wolves winning percentage in clutch situations at 583.583 was seventh best in the league. Mostly because their defense was so good in clutch situations. But this is interesting to me because we talk about the Wolves' good half-court defense. We talk about their struggles in transition, both offensively and defensively, and also an offense that struggles at times with, and this is another thing John talks about in the article, is the ball getting sticky, or what Marnie Gellner and I talked about often on the live postcast this season was the Wolves playing a take-turn offense. Especially early in the season, Ant would say, okay, it's my turn, take five possessions. Kat would take a few possessions. D'Lo would take a few possessions. That's just how, and then you have Rudy wanting the ball, not getting the ball. That was kind of how the offense, what the offense devolved into too often this season. Interestingly enough, that can be an effective strategy in close late games because games slow down. You have to be able to score in the half court. And unless you're really good at running some really strong offensive sets, the only other option is to score one-on-one. And I want to get a bit more into that. But Anthony Edwards, of course, can be a very good one-on-one player. And Karl-Anthony Towns didn't get as many opportunities to do that this year. But so can Kat. And so that's a game that the Wolves can win. The problem is the Wolves would find themselves down by a bunch or unable to come back from or stymie an opposition run, a run by the opposition, because the ball would get sticky. So I want to dive a bit more into that here and then also talk about another thing that gives me some hope here moving forward for the Wolves offense. So we'll do all that here next. All right, so the Timberwolves went 28-20 in games that involved clutch situations. Their 28 wins were second most in the league in clutch situations. In part, that's because the Wolves are good at playing isolation basketball. They also have a really good half-court defense. So many of their struggles this season were allowing opponents to get out and run. It was transition defense, right? So they would fall way behind or they would build a lead themselves and allow opponents to claw back. Because of their bad transition defense and their lack of ball movement on offense. the sticky ball or the take turn offense, the isolation offense that the Wolves would devolve into. And so that would allow teams to get back into games if the Wolves had built a lead, or it would allow teams to simply blow the Wolves out, which happened. I don't have the blowout numbers in front of me, but the Wolves for a playoff team were blown out far too often this season, where they were just simply non-competitive. It's a very high risk way to run an offense is just saying, okay, Ant, go score. Okay, go score. Okay, D'Lo and Rudy, figure out this pick and roll that you can never figure out. It's a dangerous way to live. It's not how Chris Finch wants to live, and it's why the Wolves only won 42 regular season games and struggled at times in struggled primarily against bad opponents, because if the Wolves got stuck into this, like, oh, we're going to win, like, Ant's just going to drill up and shoot a three, and, like, you could just kind of see the Wolves thinking, this is a game we're going to win, let's just kind of be, we don't need to run plays, we don't need to have ball movement, we can be a little selfish with the ball, and then all of a sudden, you find yourself down multiple possessions, and the way to come back is not to be selfish with the ball on offense, it is to have ball movement and score in transition, which are things the Wolves often struggled to do. So it's this weird kind of cyclical issue. And weirdly enough, like, the best example of this, and this is just one example, but the win over the Dallas Mavericks, who of course ended up not being a playoff team anyway, but shortly after the Kyrie Irving trade, when the Wolves with 12 seconds left on the clock, Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards shut down Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving without even allowing a shot. The isolation defense for Minnesota, the half-court defense, and isolation offense are both strengths of this team, but they are not sustainable ways to have a 48, 50, 52 win team that goes to the second round of the playoffs or the conference finals. You have to have teams with ball movement, with flow. I mean, obviously, you know, the Denvers and the Golden States and even the Bostons, like, those teams pop in your mind as teams that have flow to their offense and side-to-side ball movement and can score in transition, but in general are just really good passing and cutting teams. Those are things that the Wolves struggle with. And Chris Finch goes on to talk about this a little bit. There's a couple of quotes that John Krasinski has in this article at The Athletic, where Chris Finch talks about perhaps needing to call more plays. Like, here's this quote. He says, quote, from Finch, quote, "It's going to take a lot more attention to detail and spacing, perhaps a little more structure. We're going to have to be able to shift between directing the ball to different guys. I think maybe some more play calls for me. But I also believe that given a real training camp together and given a proper settling in period, that we can reestablish a lot of the things that we were able to do naturally, let's say between Cat and Ant, that we weren't able to get to," end quote. Yeah, I think it's going to take some more play calls from Chris Finch, even if there's a full training camp, at least until the, like, I know Finch likes to talk about putting up bumpers, like, imagine, bumper bowl lead or something like that, right? To basically say, like, here's where we are. You guys figure it out in between the lines. I'm going to set up these bumpers. Here's generally what we want to do. You guys go play. We're not there yet. This team was 23rd in offensive rating. And obviously Towns' absence has a ton to do with that. But this team has to show that they can execute play calls properly, that they can play transition offense at, like, some of their fast break spacing was, like, worse than what I remember in high school, like JV basketball, right? Like, when you do those full court, you know, even just like the weave drill, right? Which is supposed to be all about passing the ball and not letting it hit the floor and spacing and timing and scoring without traveling or dribbling is the ideal situation, right? Like, those types of drills that are supposed to instill all of these different things, that was just, like, missing from the Wolves this year. And I really think it's almost like a square one type offensive philosophy where there needs to be some set plays. I'm not saying it needs to be like a Saunders offense where there's a million plays to call and every time down the floor it's a different twist on a different play. But I think it needs to be more than bumpers. I think there needs to be more play calls. I think there needs to be more established sets to get the ball in advantageous spots for Ant and encourage him to take advantage of those play calls instead of devolving into isolation basketball, a sticky basketball. You know, somebody staring down, whether it's D'Lo or Ant or whoever, staring down Gobert, who wants the ball in the post or off of a roll. And then, okay, now we're back, clear the side out. We're back into an isolation situation. Yes, the Wolves can win in those situations. It's why they went 28-20 in clutch games, because they're good in half court offense. They're good in half court defense in clutch situations because they have such a high upside in isolation. But it's not sustainable. It's a dangerous way to live. It's not how you build and keep big leads against bad teams. It's not how you beat good teams over the course of a game. It's a break glass in case of emergency. And it is nice to have guys like Ant and Kat that can do that. But it's not the way that you want to live, you know, big picture in terms of your offense. So Finch's comments about calling more plays, I think, are super important. I mentioned transition offense a bunch earlier in the show. Transition defense was the bigger issue. Krasinski doesn't mention transition offense at all in his piece, and the Wolves needed to take advantage more frequently in transition. I think losing, like, Malik Beasley is a beast in transition. Losing him hurt in that regard. The second team, the Jordan McLaughlin-led, Jalen Noel-led unit was not good in transition, you know, save for a couple, like, big Noel games in the middle of the season, but that's one of the reasons why Ant had to play with the second unit. The transition offense, I guess I did just talk about that related to JV basketball. That needs to improve, obviously. But the half-court offense, too, it can't simply be isolation. There's just got to be more flow to it, and that's on Chris Finch and the coaching staff, and I understand the continuity not being there matters, and that's why I also say, like, there's no reason why Chris Finch shouldn't get another full season to figure this thing out. And hopefully, knock on wood, there's a relatively healthy roster when this thing kicks off. I know I mentioned on Tuesday's show that Ant is playing for Team USA in August. I will be holding my breath that entire time. It sounds like Rudy Gobert is not going to play for France in the World Cup, which is positive for the Wolves. I think more rest and less opportunity for injury is better, because the Wolves need this. They need a full season to try and play the string out on this whole the Towns-Gobert pairing. Speaking of, we spent Tuesday's show talking about potential Towns trades, potential point guard trades. We'll talk a little more trade the rest of this week. Actually, we'll do more trade the rest of this week. We'll get into some more draft prospects. Of course, shows Thursday and Friday, and then back again next week, Monday through Friday. Big thank you to those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. It's greatly appreciated. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch the show on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.